he had judged. When he fell, when the third of the angels says, the scriptural comment, Peter sees the video, a third of the angels rebelled and fell into sin. They lost their holiness, but they didn't lose their holiness, or rather, they didn't lose their knowledge, they didn't lose their power. And if anything, he learns from experience, too. He knows how it works. So we have that to contend with our whole life. You think your fallen human nature will go away, where all of a sudden you'll never be inclined to forbidden pleasure. That will never happen. As long as you're in this life, your nature is fallen, and you will have to guard yourself. You will have to fight yourself. Isn't it true that we are our own worst enemy? Oh yes, we like to blame things on the devil, the world, and on others, but ultimately, we have the power to make those choices. So we are our own worst enemy, or we can be our own worst enemy. Fallen human nature doesn't change. We can only discipline it, fortify it, guide it in the right direction. This is where virtue comes in. The more good habits we acquire, the fewer bad habits are put in. That's what it is. Always a struggle throughout our lives to develop and increase good habits. Minimize lessons of bad habits. Creatures of habits. And then the moral, the third enemy of our soul, will always be there in his own way. What's it saying? Live a life of means, live a life of materialism, live a life of sensual pleasure. You see that come across. So many in advertisement, ease, comfort. What they often mean by that is simple behavior. So temptation is, in a sense, a very the deep philosophical question that can be asked here is, why does God allow temptation? If it's through temptation that people fall into sin and go to hell, why would God allow that? Well, at least two very good reasons can be given. First of all, we have the merit of choosing Him. If everything was easy, if we always said yes to God effortlessly, we wouldn't even be human. You'd be a computer. You'd be computerized to do that. But it's so meaningful that when we don't want to do something, but we know we need to do it, and we say, I'm going to do it. I choose. That's meaningful. But it's not meaningful when something's computerized. So, at a very fundamental deep level, let's remember the simple principle. Without a struggle, there's no reward. Without the effort, there's no merit. So, we have to have our struggle. We have to have our fight. We have to make our choice, otherwise there can be no reward. You know, we don't reward a computer for behaving well, do we? We don't have computer appreciation day. My computer hasn't had a problem for 2 months. Computer, I'm going to give you a beautiful, wonderful reward. It served me very well. Meaningless. The machine was having to work. If somebody chose to serve you and do good deeds to you and work hard for you and labor, that person was the reward. It's the same way with God. That's what free will is all about. Just like the angels have the free will choice, either you're going to submit to God or you're going to rebel against God, same thing with us, because we have a free will too. What an amazing thing that is. What a dangerous thing free will is. It's a power you wake up with every morning. The power of Jesus. And you can save yourself, offering the grace of God, or you can destroy yourself. That's that power we make up every morning. What am I going to do with this power? So that's the first reason why it just has to be displayed, why there has to be temptation. We have to have a reward, we have the merits. And the second good reason it would be given is that we get stronger by fighting. An analogy I always like to give here is lifting weights. Let's say somebody wants to get strong, and he has 2 pound weights, and he lifts them lots of times. And it gets caught that way. Because the weight is too small. But now if you start dealing with 20 pound weights, 30 pound weights, 50 pound weights, 100 or more, now you're talking about real growth. And it's the same way with temptation. If we didn't have difficult temptations to battle with and deal with, how would we ever get strong? We'd be spiritual weaklings. All of us. We don't congratulate ourselves on having lifted 2 pound weights. So, that's why God allows temptation. That's the good that God brings out of temptation. That we get stronger by fighting. God hates more than you'll ever understand. But nevertheless, he will allow us to be tempted. So that we can get stronger. He loves to see the good things happening when a person is fighting temptation. He sees the person praying hard. He sees the person disciplining himself more. He sees the person mortifying himself, denying himself, doing good deeds, turning away from idleness. How can the Heavenly Father not love to see those things? So here's your answer. That's why you are allowed by your loving Heavenly Father to be tempted, to be put into the danger of falling. Because with the grace of God, you can overcome every temptation that will come your way. One of the great heresies of Martin Luther was that man cannot help but sin at times. He was denying the power of God's grace. And it was being used as an excuse for sinning. I can't help it. This is the way I am. I want to do these things. Therefore, I'm justified. No, we're not. It's against God's law. It's always forbidden, and there's no justification for falling into it. What did St. Paul say when he was being tempted? Again, we're not exactly sure of how St. Paul was using that word. Was it because he was being tried? Was he in tribulation? Or was it an actual temptation to sin? And he felt that it was too much. Oh God, please take this away from me. God said no. He said, my grace is sufficient for me. You read that epistle, I believe it's the exhortation of Sunday. St. Paul saying how even he struggled after all that he went through temptation, he went through tribulation, he didn't want to deal with it, and God said, you can do it. And that's the way we need to see it. Whenever we're tempted, we may feel like saying, I can't do it, but God is saying to us, yes, you can, by the grace of God. So as I said earlier, the Heavenly Father loves to see us grow spiritually. That's why he allows us. This doesn't mean, however, that we should put ourselves into harm's way. If somebody puts himself in the occasion of sin, he's basically asked God to lead him. I don't want your grace. I put myself into the occasion of sin. We keep talking about it because we're surrounded by so many occasions of sin. Again, our electronic age, which provides near occasions of sin for movies, television, internet, cell phones, you name it. If we put ourselves in that danger, it's completely and totally our fault. We have no business being there. We must remove ourselves from the occasion of sin. can't avoid all the remoter nations of sin without requiring to do that, but the proximate or the nearer nation of sin, we're always obliged to get out of them. Oh yes, it will feel so attractive. And the justification starts again, just like Mother Eve. Oh, the apple sure looks good. See, aren't we following our first mother there? When we start to play with temptation. So we have to fight it right away. It's interesting that St. Augustine points out the three stages of temptation. He calls the first stage suggestion. The idea appears in our minds. Not a sin yet. The first stage of temptation is there. The idea is there. Second stage, the pleasure. In other words, we feel the attraction to that. You allow yourself to go to the second stage, you're already in great danger of all. There's probably not full consent, well, there isn't full consent yet. But you're really doubting into this temptation. And then the third stage of temptation is sex. It's such a fine line between the attraction and then allowing oneself to be taken over the line. So, in no way am I saying to let the first two stages happen. St. Augustine was not teaching us that. So that we can play with fire. But he's telling us what the process is. The idea comes first, recognizing the attraction of second, and then the fatal giving of consent. So what we have to do as soon as the idea appears in our minds, start resisting it, start fighting it. If it's a displeasure to you, if it grieves you, if it troubles you, that's a very good sign. Because it means that you're fighting it. Maybe not as hard as it should be, but you are fighting it. We're going to find friends here. St. Francis de Sales told us how St. Catherine of Siena, having been violently tempted against chastity, was asked by our Lord, "Tell me, did those filthy thoughts in your heart give you joy or sorrow, regret or delight?" She answered, "Extreme regret and sorrow." Thereupon our Lord comforted her by adding that the sorrows were a great merit and a great profit. So there's much more that can be said about the psychology of temptation. I just try to keep it simple, and it's always good to stick with the roots of three. So there you have the roots of three. Again, the teaching St. Augustine, and here's the point, find it at the very beginning. The more we let it start to progress, the more we dilly-dally, the more the danger grows. In other words, as soon as the thought is there, the red flag should go up. And if it's not going up, you've got a real problem. Maybe we're dealing with a hardened conscience that has committed a sin over and over again. And the red flag starts to disappear. That's what I was trying to get at last week when we talked about the danger of losing one's soul. When it becomes hardened, what is in the pattern of regular pattern sin, we're in part of that. So let's hope that those red flags are going up. We recognize it, we resist it right away. We may have a real battle on our hands. St. Catherine of Siena once fought all night long against temptations that were plaguing her. And I'll leave you with this thought. And it's not mentioned here, but she asked our Lord when he appeared to her, she said, "Lord, who were you? I told a man that I was fighting this battle all night long. I was crying out to you. Who were you?" And he said, "I was in your heart the whole time, helping you fight more." After that, that's your reward, that's your merit, and by persevering, you are growing in sanctity.